B-Pod Studios.
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
Well, parks in Melbourne, Australia have a very specific problem that can only be seen from up in the air. They've got giant penises drawn all over them. Three separate parks in the northeast of the city have been adorned with phallic glyphs that can be seen on Google Maps.
Wow, that's pretty impressive.
Yeah, the giant penises have been compared to Peru's famous Nazca lines, ancient symbols that can only be appreciated from space. It was said that they were drawn to please the gods looking down on Earth.
On the weekends, I watched that show, Ancient Penises. Do you watch that?
I haven't seen it yet.
It's really good.
One theory is that this is the work of school-leaving millennials searching for the ultimate prank. Each park seems to contain several different members, all drawn at different sizes. Sadly, the groundskeeper appears to have caught up with the penises, which was drawn at Hayes Park. It's now all but faded, but if you look closely, you can still just make out the testicles by the edge of the lawn next to a lamppost.
Testicles are always last to go.
Yeah.
That's still amazing to pull that off, to pull off a penis.
It's true.
Did anybody happen to see the guy who had a penis sunburn on his back?
No.
Yes. At the MMR barbecue?
Yeah, I tweeted it.
Yeah, so somebody had tweeted to us, says that, this is what don't fall asleep around friends or something like that.
That's hilarious.
Uh-huh. I love it. Oklahoma defense attorney Mark Bailey is under fire in Oklahoma for, among other things, taking a poop-stained check to the offices of the Oklahoma Bar Association and asking that it be delivered directly to a staff member of the OBA General Counsel's office. When the check was delivered, the complaint said that the check had a pinched indentation and there was a brown, damp smear across its front. Test results confirmed the substance on the check was fecal matter. Bailey was also arrested for assault and battery after allegedly running his car into a woman over a parking space a couple of years back.
But, and he's a lawyer?
Yeah, and all these stories that understandably get second billing compared to the fecal matter check.
Yeah.
For his part, Bailey denies any wrongdoing, but the defense outlined the disciplinary complaint raises even more questions. The complaint said Bailey denied there was anything nefarious about the check. His paralegal said that the checkbook had fallen between Bailey's car seats and that the brown substance was already smeared on the check at the time that she filled it in for Bailey's signature.
Sure.
I mean, it's poop.
It's poop.
They tested it. It's definitely fecal matter.
Well, don't you have a poop under your seats in the car?
I keep a little bit
just
there,
a little for you.
Not enough to make a mess.
To keep the change from rolling around.
Yeah, yeah. Kath?
Yeah.
I give you this story. This is from last week. I apologize. I didn't get a chance to get to it. But a Chester County, Pennsylvania man is out on bond after his arrest for drilling multiple holes inside Target changing rooms.
What? Oh, dear.
Yeah. Sean Anderson was charged with criminal mischief for drilling holes in multiple changing rooms at the Target in West Pottsgrove Township. Authorities believe that he may be the same person responsible for drilling holes in other Target changing rooms throughout the area.
Can you turn a little to the left, please?
A loss prevention officer at the store was aware that someone had been drilling holes in Target changing rooms and had a description of the suspect. And on May 4th, employees had noticed holes in the changing room of that exact same Target and had caulked them over. Now, on May 9th, the loss prevention officer noticed Anderson going in and out of the dressing room, which prompted her to check on the previous holes. After noticing that the holes had been re-drilled,
oh my God,
she called police.
So he's in the other dressing room looking through?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what he's doing. Like, it's so dumb. If you're going to be a perv, like a dressing room, most times are not even getting completely naked. Like they're just putting a top on.
Hey, just put a Wi-Fi camera in there.
So the responding officer noticed multiple holes in different changing rooms and saw that one of the holes had gray foam inside. The officer detained Anderson. And after walking him to his police vehicle, checked the area where Anderson had been standing there. The officer found a drill bit, wooden block, and tweezers tucked inside the pocket of a pair of sweatpants that were on a rack. After searching Anderson, the officer said he also found a piece of foam that matched the foam inside one of the changing room holes. Anderson posted bail after being charged with possession of an instrument of a crime and criminal mischief, causing an estimated $1,200 of damage. Police have not said what they think he is. Police have not said why they think he's the same person who drilled holes in other Target changing rooms.
Think of the wealth of material, whatever your kinky thing is online. But for this guy specifically, it has to be this.
Yeah.
It has to be in real time.
Yeah.
It has to probably be at a Target. Mm-hmm. All this whole procedure figures into his perversion.
Have you ever stopped to thank God that that's not your thing?
I'm so glad that's not my thing.
Yeah, that's a good point. Zombie raccoons. That's my thing.
Yes.
That clumsily walk on two legs and show their teeth are staggering around suburban Chicago, and authorities are warning locals to hide their pets. A spike in raccoons testing positive for distemper in Riverside, Illinois, is to blame for the bizarre sightings of contaminated animals that the disease causes to appear zombie-like. While zombie raccoons don't eat brains, distemper is highly contagious. If you're feeding wildlife and that raccoon ate out of your bowl or cat food for your stray cats and your puppy goes over, the saliva can be contagious.
They sent in a Negan raccoon to take care of everything.
Well, oh, well, oh, well. Looks like we got ourselves a problem in Chi-Town. Leaning back, huh? Looks like we got some trouble. Some trouble in Chi-Town. Going deep dish on this bitch.
It's got a little leather jacket. Yeah.
Lean back way far.
Ooh.
Hey! In the home of Oprah.
Airborne transmission of distemper, which is also carried by wolves and skunks, most commonly affects dogs.
There's less wolves in Chicago.
The AMA reports that distemper is often fatal, and dogs that survive usually have permanent irreparable nervous system damage. Symptoms of the illness include watery eyes, sneezing, lethargy, and seizures. It cannot be contracted by humans. Police said that anyone who encounters a zombie raccoon should call the police so that they can deal with it.
You have
it.
To stick your knife through the brain, right?
Yep,
yeah.
Exactly. It's got to be right in the brain stem. All right, one last story. I like this one. This is in England. Hawksmoor, Manchester, a steakhouse in England, accidentally served a group of diners a bottle of wine worth $5,700.
Wow.
After they had ordered one that was worth only $330. Only, listen, $330 already would have been.
That's still pricey.
Pretty damn pricey. Yeah. But they pulled out the $5,700 bottle by accident in the restaurant.
Shouldn't that be in a separate room?
They tweeted about the mix-up, writing, to the customer who accidentally got given a bottle of Chateau Le Pin Pomerol 2001, which is $5,700 on our menu last night. Hope you enjoyed your evening.
Oh, my God.
And then they just left it at that.
I'd be curious to go to those people and say, did you notice a difference that would be equivalent to the dollar difference? I guarantee you they didn't.
I would say the same thing, Steve. It is believed that the manager in the restaurant picked up the wrong bottle, as it looked very similar to the one ordered. Here's the difference between America and England, probably. Nobody at the restaurant was fired over there.
Okay.
And it was just a mistake, and they'll eat the $5,700
Well, they made sure to serve them undercooked chicken.
93.3 WMMR, audio on demand. It's the Bizarre File podcast.
Well, a British tourist who booked a $200 a night home in Amsterdam through Airbnb was stunned to find out that the cottage was actually a shipping container set up on the roadside.
Just a shipping container?
Yeah. Ben Speller arrived in the Dutch city ahead of a football match. Hopeful of finding somewhere cheap and cheerful. Mr. Speller was delighted when he came across the listing for a clean home in Amsterdam with a private bathroom.
Well, they got the cheap part.
But the Londoner received quite the shock after arriving at his one-night stay to be met with a gray shipping container with three mattresses and a portable toilet inside it. I mean, it looks like a giant trash can is what it looks like. He said, we had already driven past the container three times in the taxi trying to find the place. We thought, this can't be it. But we got out and turned out that it was true. We opened the back door to look inside, locked the door, and left, and then we went to a hotel. Mr. Speller is asking the owner for a refund. But the request was denied, leading to Airbnb refunding the man his money as well as for the hotel booking itself. So they're making good on that.
I've been on Airbnb shipping container.
Yeah.
Maybe he got confused.
The home, described as a cottage by a host calling themselves Jacob, was taken off the site shortly after Mr. Speller raised the complaint.
Well, one man's cottage is another man's shipping container.
So this is pretty great. It's a very, very short story. I saw the video of it last week. Maybe you guys saw this too. A video that shows a welder accidentally trapping his own head between railings while he was attaching a metal bar.
Oh,
you see that?
I did. Yeah, yeah.
So he leaned over. It's kind of hard to explain, but when he was done welding it, he realized he couldn't get his head out. It shows him poking his head underneath the top bar, not realizing, and he was putting the lower bar underneath there, and he had trapped himself. Luckily, a saw was within his reach, and he was able to cut himself free. It's unknown where the video was taken. It's pretty damn funny, though. The build-up to a wedding is stressful enough, but one couple were dealt a devastating blow in the week before their big day that threatened to put the whole thing in jeopardy. A bride-to-be took to Facebook seeking advice after discovering that her fiancé's 16-year-old son had gotten her 15-year-old daughter pregnant.
Whoa!
Oh my God.
Whoa! No.
Right before they were supposed to get married.
Hey, we got you a gift.
The anonymous woman revealed that it was 5 days before their nuptials and questioned whether or not they should still go ahead with their plans to get married. Explaining she and her fiancé had been engaged and planning their wedding for a year, the woman wrote, "He has a 16-year-old son. I have a 15-year-old daughter. We are now 5 days away from the wedding. Yesterday, my 15-year-old daughter and 16-year-old son both told us that she's pregnant and he's the daddy." She concluded the post with, "Now what?" asking if she should still get married or not. Obviously, people were chiming in with their opinion on it. No clear-cut decision has been made as of yet. That's wild.
You know those little rascals.
A New York Police Department officer was arrested after she tried to have a hitman hire to kill her ex-husband as well as a child.
I think you would know that that's illegal if you're a police officer.
If you're a cop, right? Valerie Cincinelli tried to get her current boyfriend to hire a hitman. Cincinelli was arrested by the FBI following a sting operation. The child was her current boyfriend's 14-year-old daughter. See, I'm a little confused. I don't know if that's right or not. Why would she have her boyfriend try to hire a man to kill his own daughter?
It's
I don't know.
Easier to just have your kids have sex with each other,
yeah,
like the last story.
And get them knocked up. Yeah. So the officer's father spoke out defending his daughter, saying that he doesn't believe she did it. Lou Cincinelli said, "I guarantee you my daughter is innocent on this." The officer previously worked out of the 106th precinct in Queens before being placed on modified duty in 2017 for an unrelated domestic incident. Before that, though, she was an award-winning officer. According to a complaint filed by Cincinelli, by federal prosecutor, she made a cash withdrawal of $7,000 from a bank to give to a cooperating source identified as her current boyfriend, who would in turn give it to the hitman.
I thought hitman a lot cheaper than I thought they would be. $7,000?
Yep. On or about May 8th, the complaint says Cincinelli told her boyfriend to, quote, have the hitman kill Jane Doe over the weekend and then wait a week or a month to kill John Doe, because they're not naming these people. A review of the boyfriend's cell phone and text messages between him and Cincinelli confirms that they communicated using cell multiple times. Cincinelli was notified in person by a detective at her home that her estranged husband had been murdered. The boyfriend was present with Cincinelli at the time of the notification, outfitted with a recording device at the direction of law enforcement. After the detective left the home, Cincinelli allegedly began to discuss her alibi. Then an FBI agent posing as a hitman sent a text message to the boyfriend, which included a photograph of the alleged crime scene in which Cincinelli's estranged husband appeared to be dead in his car.
Whoa.
And a demand for an additional $3,000 to kill Jane Doe.
Okay,
sometimes
so the seven
stage those, you know.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
So the $7,000 was not for both. It wasn't a BOGO.
No, it wasn't a BOGO.
Yeah.
You had to pay an extra $3,000 to
right.
get the daughter.
I mean, it's not ridiculous. Maybe you have a coupon or something.
In response, Cincinelli allegedly instructed her boyfriend to delete the text messages and photographs, citing fear that law enforcement could subpoena the phone. That's messed up, man.
Thanks for listening to Preston and Steve's Bizarre File Podcast. Go to PrestonandSteve.com, click On Demand for full show podcasts, and to subscribe so you never miss an episode.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.